sees itself quite distinct and has a, for the permanent residents, a pretty distinctly different demographics than the rest of the area, and perhaps Whittier, and then to a lesser extent, the Chugiak, Eagle River, Birchwood, Clutna areas at various times have raised the issue of wanting to detach. From a public policy point of perspective, aside from the efficiency of scale and so on, what criteria should do you and should we use in deciding whether or not it's valid for a community that sees themselves or is in fact quite distinctive to detach?
Well, this is an issue with some history.
Sure.
And I think you are, by some years, a longer resident of Alaska than I am, but I think we both remember some of the controversy in the 70s and continuing about the autonomy in those communities, Girdwood, Chugiak, Eagle River. I think that under present state law, as Anchorage is a unified municipality, there really is no provision for detachment or division, pardon me, division of the existing municipality into two parts. There is perhaps an analogy that might be made to a situation with the city of Sulawik, which was once a first-class city at a time when there was no provision for reclassification of first-class cities, and what they did in that case mechanically was to dissolve and reincorporate, I believe, as a second-class city. So perhaps that is the mechanism that might be available were residents of Anchorage wanting to pursue some sort of governmental rearrangement. But from a policy point of view, with the Constitution and the statutes we have in mind, and as a member of the Boundary Commission, I think I would say that the devil we have may be a whole lot better than the devil we don't know, that we take for granted the benefits of unified municipalities or borough government as we have in Anchorage, and forget the issues and divisions and conflicts we would have were we separate local governments cohabiting in an area, you know, and being part of one another's daily lives as residents of Eagle River and Chugiak and Girdwood and Anchorage are, for that matter, Matsubaro. I think from a policy point of view, I would simply say I think the status quo that we have got has many positive features, and the alternative has some significant negative aspects.
Well, thank you. You didn't give me a satisfactory answer, but I think it's probably the best you can, and I appreciate that.
Representative Murkowski.
I'd like to talk about the Cordova proposal. It appears that what they're suggesting is going to add some additional burden to the commission. There's going to be hearings before any proposal is written by the commission. You've got to identify certain things, prepare a written decision. Is the commission prepared and able to take on the additional work? Listening to Senator Hoffman, it sounds like there may be a concern that there's some delays and some timing issues with the commission, and if we were to add these additional requirements that on an annual basis, you're doing this inventory, conducting public hearings, issuing these decisions, and then submitting them to the legislature, what is that doing to your ability to do the work in a timely manner?
There are a couple of areas where there might be work to be done and possible expenses. As for the commission itself, we're not an expensive item. Our time is contributed. There are traveling expenses associated with the commission. But I don't think the commission itself would be a substantial cost factor. Of more concern is the staff work that it would take to assist the commission through this process. That's part of the reason why I think it would be reasonable to expect that nothing instant would happen. We would need to schedule this sequence over some period of the years, I think. The about 10 years ago, the commission, with staff support, did a series of model borough boundary studies that took, I don't know if that was budgeted, but took a great deal of time and staff work and commission time. I think that happened quicker than I would expect action to happen here. We haven't gotten to the point where we've looked at, fiscal consequences. There isn't legislation to look at. The overriding point, I think, to keep in mind would be that whatever the short-term expenses might be, the long-term savings and the equity for local governments, I believe, would well offset the short-term expenses.
A couple more questions, Mr. Chair, then. Okay, recognizing that the expense aspect of it you can probably deal with or get around, what about the timing issue? Do you have enough people? Are the communities that want to get on the local boundaries agenda being accommodated in a timely manner? What's your performance in that area?
I think in general they are. In some cases, as in Talkeetna, where their petition has had an extended life, that is because there has been indecision or mind changing at the local level. I don't know what all of the factors were in the case of ADACT, whether there were issues to iron out before the staff could complete its work. But I think in general, the commission has been timely, and the staff has been timely in completing its work. I don't know. Mr. Barker, do you have anything to add to that?
Just, I do have specifics with respect to the ADAC proposal. As indicated in our report, the ADAC petition was filed at the end of April of last year, and there are a number of steps that are established in law to ensure that the process doesn't go so rapidly. I mean, it's designed to be efficient and to allow other things going on, but there's almost a two-month period once a petition is filed for public review and comment, and then there's a requirement for the department to prepare preliminary reports, and there's opportunity for public review and comment of those reports. So the process is designed, to be efficient, but yet not to drag on extensively. I think that we have been reasonably accommodating with respect to ADAC. Again, the petition was filed almost on April 29th of last year, and the commission will be in ADAC holding a hearing on, I believe it's April 28th of this year. So that is probably not uncommon for most types of incorporations that come before the commission because of provisions in the law and because of requirements that other activities that we have before us. I would also note, just for the record, that the petition for the incorporation of the City of ADAC does not include provisions for police protection. There is no mechanism in there under their proposal. It's a fairly simple, straightforward, pretty minimal type of local government proposal that has come before the department and the commission.
And just one final question here. One of the proposals that Cordova is suggesting is that you do all this, you do the preliminary hearings, you do the report, and then you present it to the legislature for review. And the purpose for presenting it to the legislature is what? Are we supposed to kick the communities in the rear end one way or another and encourage them to act? I would think not.
Not at all. In fact, more often it happens the other way around. It is our derriere that gets the attention if it is a locally controversial petition. At present, annexation petitions, unless they are local review annexation petitions, do come before the legislature, and that is why the City of Ketchikan and City of Alleghany petitions are submitted for the legislature's review this year. So that would be analogous. These annexations, as under this proposed concept, would also come before the legislation. What is new is that currently incorporations are not submitted to the legislature for review. What this proposal does is provide a safeguard, a check on the Boundary Commission, so that if there is concern about a Boundary Commission decision, it can be elevated to the legislature, and the legislature would have an opportunity to second guess. We have a different role than the legislature. We have a constitution and statutes, and we are obliged to make our decision on that basis. The legislature has a different legitimate political role marches to a different drummer. We understand that, and that would be a perhaps in an innovation like this, an advisable safeguard on this commission.
Well, I'm well aware that the city does not plan on providing police services, but they have contracts that they're ready to sign, and there's no legal entity to receive those contracts, and that is the concern that I have. You know, they may not be seeking police powers, but they have contracts in place. I'm well aware that they had their petition on the 29th. We have the preliminary report already that I have, that in your report today says that it's due shortly. It's already received. So this report to the legislature is out of date as well. The concern, I guess, is hopefully the commission will meet. I know on several occasions they have not met because of quorums, and I'm wondering, can they accept people on teleconference to establish a quorum when communities like this are trying to meet? Because you say that they are addressing the issues, but on several occasions the commission has not established quorums. Is that correct?
Senator Hoffman, I've been on the commission for about 3.5 years, and in that period, the commission has never failed to meet for lack of a quorum in that period. I don't know about earlier history. The commission does sometimes conduct business by teleconference, although when it comes to a local hearing on an annexation petition or an incorporation petition, we do our best to have all members of the commission present at the locality. That is an expense, but we think it is extremely important, and we have worked with the department to assemble funds to allow the commission to go to ADAC as a group. I hope that all commission members will go. It's very expensive, and it's 4 days to go and return to ADAC. There are two reasons why we think it's important that we go there. We know in our experience that commission members often see things different than staff does, that when we go see firsthand and hear firsthand testimony, that it makes a difference in how commission members view things, and so going and being there enables us to do our job. Often we too make decisions that are not universally popular, and we just think that it is essential in those cases for the commission to be there face to face explaining our reasons, and that we would have no credibility if we were making important decisions affecting local communities by teleconference without an opportunity for residents to see us face-to-face. So we will do our best, we do our best to go and meet and patch things by teleconference when absolutely necessary, but not by preference.
Well, I look forward to the hearings in ADAC in April, and I plan to attend and do whatever I can to provide information, and the community can to, or the residents can to, establish that community in ADAC, because they've been working very hard and very diligent to become a second-class city to provide services to their people.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. One follow-up question, if there aren't any other questions, on the proposal by the city of, or actually it was in your annual report, but by the city of Perdola, or at least they're the ones that are bringing it forward at this point in time. Can you go into a little more detail about my understanding? The idea is to take away the opportunity, or to not have it be the opportunity of the local area to vote on this. It would be a legislative vote and a vote of the local boundary commission. And if the legislature didn't approve or disapprove of the decision of the local boundary commission, it would become a borough. I don't know if that's correct or not, but if it isn't, can you explain it a little better?
That would essentially be true of the incorporation process. That is, as with, say, the Mandatory Borough Act, it would establish a process whereby, under existing standards, those areas of the unorganized borough that satisfy existing standards, as existing boroughs do, could be incorporated. There would be an election. There would be an election on electing municipal officers and such, as as would now occur. But there would be a process whereby areas that do satisfy requirements could become incorporated with oversight by the legislature.
And am I correct that this is something the local boundary commission supports, and by the report it seems to me like the administration supports it as well? Is that correct?
We are very much intrigued by this idea. It seems like a way to get off ground zeros in some areas of the state.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for Kevin? Representative Jewell.
On that point, that's still subject to the approval of the people that are being asked that question.
The election of offices would be, but the incorporation would not be.
The incorporation would not be.
That's correct.
So it would become a mandatory based on the local boundary commission.
Based on the existing standards in law and the boundaries commission assessment of the facts in individual cases and the legislature's acceptance of the boundary commission's decision.
So if the Cordova proposal had been in place for the past several years, how would that have affected the situation in Ketchikan? Would the Ketchikan borough, the residents of the Ketchikan borough, not have been allowed to vote on the incorporation? Does it affect, or would it have affected Ketchikan at all?
What might have affected Ketchikan Gateway Borough would be an annexation. It is already exists as an incorporated borough. The only issue that might arise there might be an annexation of territory now outside that borough, but that by constitutional and legislative standards would property be included as part of the borough. And in fact, the borough did 2 years ago have a proposal for an extensive annexation that ultimately was not approved because it did not satisfy standards.
So the Ketchikan factor that much different.
Well, can I follow up on that?
Yes, sir.
Are you saying that under the provisions of the Cordova proposal, that the Ketchikan borough, with your consent, could have annexed that area that the public vote turned down?
What the legislation would do is make it the responsibility of the commission to review the various areas of the state, including incorporated boroughs, and where, in light of the existing standards, it seemed to better fulfill the constitutional directive to propose an annexation, or if it were an unorganized area, an incorporation, and submit that proposal to the legislature. If the legislature did not object, then the annexation or incorporation would occur.
So it would take a positive action by the legislature.
Correct. Depending on how the legislation were to be written.
It's relatively easy to stop something from getting to the legislature, much easier to stop something than it is to initiate the passage of a positive act.
As a rule, I think that is the case.
On that point, does the administration plan to introduce such legislation that either proposed or recommended by the commission?
I do not know. At the moment, as you may know from my remarks, the governor expressed support and encouraged the city of Cordova to pursue it. I do not know that the administration has taken a position on the legislation. I don't think that it is proposing legislation on this matter. And the commission is speaking its own mind.
Well, just to be clear, this is not the local boundary commission's proposal, correct? This is.
We are supportive of the concept of providing an alternative way to make progress in borough incorporation in those areas that satisfy the statutory requirements, and only those areas.
I think I'm a little bit confused now. I thought that Senator Kelly had indicated that he was going to take an affirmative act of the legislature, but I was under the understanding that if the Boundary Commission presented to the legislature and we failed to act within a certain period of time, that it is, by implication, adopted?
Well, there is no legislation now that
sets
that out. And,
but if we were talking about the scenario in Ketchikan, if the Cordova proposal had been in place and if the area to be annexed, even though the residents of Ketchikan had voted against the annexation, the Boundary Commission could make the recommendation, present it to the legislature, and if the legislature failed to act, that it would therefore become annexed? Is that procedurally how it works?
Can you help me unravel this,
yes.
Dan?
I think that there might be some confusion over two different issues. One is, there was, as the chairman indicated, a prior attempt by the Ketchikan Gateway Borough to annex. There is currently a proposal for annexation by the city of Ketchikan, but you are correct that under existing constitutional provisions and statutory provisions, the commission takes an action on a proposal that comes before the commission. If the commission approves it, it is permitted to recommend to the state legislature, and if the legislature takes no action, it is automatically approved. And this is the concept that is embodied in the Cordova proposal that would extend to incorporations. And this is a process that has occurred more than 100 times, including through petitions by the city of Valdez and the city of Cordova and others in Prince William Sound and others throughout the state of Alaska, that oftentimes, and it is currently before the legislature, a proposal for annexation to the city of Ketchikan for annexation of 1.2 square miles. The commission approved it. It does not require a vote. There were a number of informal votes that were conducted on behalf of citizens in the shoreline service area, but those have no binding effect. What the binding effect is that the commission took an action, made a formal recommendation to the legislature, and if the legislature does not reject the commission's recommendation by March 4th, then it is automatically approved, and it will take effect, as the commission chairman said, with a deferred effective date of January 1, 2001. So the concept has been in place since 1959, when Alaska became a state, and this would just simply extend that concept to incorporation of organized boroughs.
So in other words, it's not an affirmative act of the legislature, it's kind of action by default.
Any other questions? Seeing none, then the Joint Committee, Community Regional Affairs Committee, I thank you gentlemen very much. We'll adjourn.